from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from
really?
Sobriety.
Yeah, literally.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. With your host, Leslie Vaughn, David Von Strauss,
oh
and
my
Leslie
God.
And Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
No respect!
Oh,
they can't
hello,
remember
Charles
my turn name now.
Hello,
what the
Charles
hell, man?
What am I doing? I'm attorney. I don't know.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
It's been a weekend.
I usually do hello.
Yeah.
Charles will, but,
it's been a weekend.
It's been a weekend.
Yeah.
A little tear gas in the throat, but
you know,
okay. It's supposed to clear out the sinuses, but
water.
This is Homegrown. Hope you're awake now.
We can't do much but laugh, right?
Love the smell of chemical warfare in the morning.
Yes!
It is Sunday.
It smells like emancipation and justice.
And they should be made into parks.
It is 10:02. It is Sunday, July 9th.
If you can't tell, we're a little extra
a little
this morning.
Tuckered out.
Plus one.
From yesterday's events. Mm-hmm. Would you say that yesterday was a city sanctioned event?
No one does historical tourism like Charlottesville
does historical tourism, my friends.
Mike Signer, if you ever want to come on Homegrown
at any point and
talk about...
He's not coming, David.
This is my,
I just got to let you know that, right?
I really just want to hang out with the guy. I just really want to pick his brain, you know?
I understand.
Yeah. I just want to see what he has to say about all of this. I want to know how much that cop overtime was. That's what I want to know.
There's probably a lot of
ka-ching,
it.
How much that helicopter was?
I know.
Fly through the air.
The helicopter
is
circling for the entire time.
Yeah, so
the point to the point where no one could hear what the cops were asking them to do.
That riot gear looked shiny too. It looked brand new.
Brand spanking new. Like right out of the box.
In fact, there was a moment when the Klan was so late that I was wondering, is this all just a very clever plan on the Klan's part to put money into the cops' pocket?
Right?
Just a little time and a half for the boys in the blue.
No, seriously, you know what I think it was? I think it was since they decided to open carry that they had to check their permits before they came out of the building.
I don't think you can use the two words clever and KKK in the same sentence. If you actually look, you can see some of the signs that the Klan was holding, and I swear to God,
Bible.
The
was
word
misspelled.
Bible was misspelled.
Bible,
I believe it was.
Yes.
I guess you add an extra L for like your
you
lust
know.
And your for Jesus, lust for Jesus. I got a lust for Jesus.
Oh, my God, David. Wow.
All right.
Reel it in, baby. Reel it in.
Well, I'm reeling it in.
Okay.
I'm reeling it
Let's
in.
Let's get to our first
Maybe
guest.
Maybe the extra L in Biblical stands for long, which is a great segue to our next
guest. Seriously, step. Mike
Not
has,
to say
no, seriously,
that your name is emblematic
seriously,
with
Mike
Klansman
has been
propaganda,
sitting here, like,
but,
I think, scared to death at this for these past 4 minutes.
True.
It's okay. We're friendly. Yeah. I swear.
We don't carry tear gas.
No, we don't.
Like others.
There's no riot gear here. There's no tear gas. You are safe, okay?
Forgive my haphazard introduction. This is Homegrown 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. With me is Mike Long. He's the education director of Live Arts Theater. It's a small little mom and pop theater, I think, nestled in the heart of Charlottesville. I think it's going to be okay, though.
Somebody is not going to find your sarcasm amusing today.
I think Live Arts is gonna hold out this year.
Think they're going to make it?
I think they're going to make it.
I think so.
I think they'll be.
So, Mike, you are the education director, and so what you edumacating about?
Well, I run a wide series of education programs at Live Arts, a community theater in downtown Charlottesville, which include some shows. It includes classes for all ages throughout the academic year, and a big summer camp programming all summer long. Those are my big things. And of course, the bulk of what Live Arts does is we produce shows.
Right.
We do 6 major productions every year, plus another show in the summer. So that we have 7 major productions and a very vibrant youth programming as well.
So what is the summer show is traditionally the kids show, right?
Right. We've done in the past. It's been we always do a big musical. We do a big Broadway musical in the summer. And it's been usually it's had cast members that were teenagers, so it's skewed a little bit towards teenagers, towards families, towards younger people.
Right.
And last year was the first time that we did that exclusively and explicitly. We auditioned only people that were from the ages of 14 to 20. So last year we formally switched our program to be specifically a musical with teenagers, high school and college students.
All right.
This is our second year doing that. This year we're doing Pippin, the Broadway musical Pippin, the originally from the 70s, written by Stephen Schwartz, music by Stephen Schwartz, who's really most famous for writing Wicked.
Right.
But long before that, he wrote Pippin, which is a tale of a medieval French prince finding his way in the world.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wrote Godspell. So what else? So what if someone wants to get their kid involved in one of the summer camps? How would they go about doing that?
They would go online to our summer website, which is summer@livearts.org, and they could sign up for summer camps. And also, you can get involved by buying tickets, of course, to Pippin and our other shows, which come later in the summer, at our website, livearts.org.
Okay, so I'm a guy.
Oh, God. Here we go.
No, well, let's say I'm a guy. But let's say...
Well, you are a guy.
Let's say that I'm a father, and I have a kid, and he's studying art. He's studying theater, specifically, in school, in his public education. And he brings this up to me. Like, I'm already teaching. You already learning drama in school. You already take a drama class. You already have drama, performances in high school. Why should I send... What is the importance of theater education, in your opinion, specifically at a theater establishment, at a theater in general?
Well, there's lots of answers to that. One is that our mission at Live Arts is to forge community and theater. And so in equal measure, so community is very important to us. And the people that are doing Pippin, the high school and college students that are doing Pippin, are from all over. Every school in the area is represented, both colleges and high schools. And so these people in that show are meeting other people from other schools that they would never meet otherwise. And they are all coming together to create a really excellent production, which is unlike something they could do in school.
Mm.
They're also meeting our professional teaching staff and professional artists that that in some cases are officially mentoring them in a capacity that they wouldn't have in school.
All right, so let's get down to the other nitty gritty. How much does this cost?
Well, the people that are doing Pippin is one of our regular shows, and those actors are all volunteer actors, and they don't pay any fee for that.
Okay.
That is by audition. People come in, they audition, they do the show, they're volunteering their time.
Right.
In the case of our camps, they are, of course, tuition-based camps.
Okay.
So we are, for our little mini kids, our youngest group of 4, 5, 6-year-olds, they're doing a half-day camps, which are priced at $150.
Okay.
And then the older camps are full days, and they are priced accordingly. We do, however, offer we have some generous donors that provide a scholarship program. So we do have a vibrant need-based scholarship program
Great.
That people can apply for, which would in some cases greatly reduce the tuition. We don't want to
completely cover it. Okay,
we're trying to those people that would be excluded because of financial need. We're trying to get to a point where we would never exclude anyone based
right.
on that factor.
Right.
So
okay.
when you mentioned kids being able to do productions with kids from other schools, it made me think about this. I'm sure that those of us who were doing theater when we were kids, when we were adolescents, and also when we were kids, I think a lot of us found a group, a lot of us found a social circle that we couldn't find in other places. Can you talk about the role that theater plays as a social?
Theater family.
Yeah. Theater family, yeah. It's a huge aspect. That's why in our other productions, which are during the academic year, most of our productions have actors that are adults, professionals of any kind who are just volunteering their time. And those people come back over and over and over again. Most of them, it's pretty rare for somebody to do just one show at Live Arts. They come back again and again, maybe mm-hmm. once a year or
right.
maybe once every 2 years, people come and do shows. And it's the same for younger people as well. There's a lot of people that have grown up at Live Arts. They come in when they're an 8-year-old and do a camp, and then when they're a teenager, they audition for some shows, and then they go off to college and come back in the summers. There's a lot of people that have grown up at Live Arts, and they find their peer group there. Just as you say, the theater family. You go and you meet interesting, fun people that are like you with common interests, and you're all building art together.
That's so great. I mean, they call them drama kids for a reason.
Yeah,
you know, because
yeah.
they all like kind of think alike and, you know, have the same sense of humor. Mostly, it's a dark sense of humor. And
yes, very twisted sense of humor
and,
that only another drama person will understand.
I still remember the most memorable and salient relationships that I had in high school.
Ooh, SAT words, salient.
Well, we're with drama kids, per se, and
yeah.
my theater group that I did most of my shows with, so I have a lot to say about that. Yeah, I love summer camp. But it's not a sleepover camp, right?
No, just day camps, yeah.
Yeah, I like sleeping over camp.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a fun time.
So other than Pippin, what other shows are you guys doing?
This is the first year that we've done... We will be doing 4 full productions in
oh, wow.
the summertime. It used to be 2 years ago, we just did the one big musical.
Yeah.
Last year, we added, we had a musical for teenagers and a musical for younger kids as well. We did
right.
a production of Seussical Jr. That is both a full production and a camp. So kids
right.
come for 3 weeks during the day and they do a musical. That show this year is Disney's Peter Pan Jr.
Aww.
And we had auditions for that camp / show back in April,
uh-huh.
And it was sold out right away. Most
oh,
of the
wow.
people from the previous year came back, and we sold that out immediately. That's been that was cast in April,
right?
And they will be starting on July 17th, and their show goes up on August 4th and 5th. They do 4 performances on the first weekend of August, which are ticketed events open to the public. And that Seussical Jr. last year was a great success, and we have every reason to believe that Disney's Peter Pan Jr. will be an excellent second version of that camp.
Well, I don't see A Midnight Summer's Dream Jr., and I don't see the complete works of Shakespeare Bridge Jr. These are really in-depth, difficult plays that
yes.
really deal with adult
yeah.
themes. Like, what do you say to that?
Yeah, our other two show, that's what we've added. Last year we did the 2 musicals. This
mm-hmm.
year we're doing 2 musicals and
right.
2 non-musicals.
Right.
Summer Night's
and
Dream.
I get it, 14 to 20, they can understand those themes at a basic level, but I mean...
That's
you know.
Still a lot.
Yeah.
It is still a lot. And
yeah.
in fact, the Midsummer Night's Dream production is for younger kids, actually. All the actors in that will be
huh.
rising third
oh,
graders
well,
through
I get
sixth
that.
Graders.
It's fairies.
It's fairies.
It's fairies. That's why everybody, every, what little 6 or 7 year old girl doesn't want to be a fairy?
Doesn't want to be a fairy.
I mean, they all want to put on wings and, you know.
There's also four kids going out having sex in the woods.
Yeah, but that, you don't have to explain that to a 7 year old. They're just playing in the woods and you leave it at that.
Playing in the woods. There it's a puppy and love situation.
There you go. Yes, you just leave the euphemism there, and they don't get it, and we move on.
And because of time constraints being one factor, we are doing an abridged version of. It will be edited to be
edited heavily. Yes. Okay. So the complete works of William Shakespeare.
And complete
Seriously?
Works of William Shakespeare
will be super
is
abridged.
For.
Actually,
that will be the entire script.
No.
Because it's a.
Oh, my.
That script was originally a fringe festival show written by three guys where they decided to put on all of Shakespeare's plays at one time.
Yeah.
And it's a riotous romp of a show where they get lost in the scripts and they perform all the shows in all of Shakespeare's plays in 90 minutes.
Yep.
And that will be done in our version. That will be done by people from rising seventh graders through 12th graders. So teenagers.
Cool.
We'll be doing a crazy version of all of Shakespeare's plays.
Very cool.
Cool.
Very cool. Do we need to pay some bills? I think we need to pay some bills.
We'll pay some bills.
We'll pay some bills.
I think we had 60 seconds, but yeah, we'll call it early. We'll pay some bills. This is Homegrown.
Drop.
It is 18 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown.
Where you been?
4.7 WPVC, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville.
We've been on for almost 20 minutes. Where you been?
Mike, a long breaking down that theater education summer opportunity for your child who is passionate and or intrigued in theater and wants to be a part of it. Go to Live Arts. They do it. Okay. They do a few good shows.
Oh, my God.
Live Arts, where theater lives matter.
Oh, my God.
Follow the armored trucks and the flashbang.
Stop.
Too soon?
Okay.
Too soon?
A little too soon there. So, you guys, it's not just when kids sign up for a camp, it's not just one camp where you teach them, like, everything. You have specific camps, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we do. We do themed camps. So, we do a wide variety of camps. We do a musical theater camp. That's what we're doing right now. We are right in the middle of it. We did last week and this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where campers come in. They have a song that they sing. They get vocal coaching. They learn choreography and group numbers. They learn their choral part. And then at the end of the camp on Friday, we do a showcase performance of all of that.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's our musical theater camp. We also did, at the beginning of the summer, we did a comedy camp where people came in and they learned techniques of physical comedy and sketch writing.
Interesting.
And they got scripted scenes where they performed comedic scenes from plays, in a showcase setting.
Mm-hmm.
We also do our mini camps that I mentioned a little bit earlier for little kids. They do a variety of theater games and reading stories, that kind of stuff. And again, they do a small showcase performance. And
aww.
Then we, in the second half of the summer, we move into our production camps. So Peter Pan, Complete Works of William Shakespeare, and Midsummer, those are camps that are basically like rehearsing a show. So they come in, we do the casting on the first day, and they get their scripts, and then they go home and start memorizing all their music and lines, and then they come in every day just going through a rehearsal, just like the adults in all of our shows would do over the course of a 10-week rehearsal period.
Well, I don't know about all of them.
So why Peter Pan Jr. instead of just Peter Pan? I mean, of all the things to have a junior.
Yes, the junior designation is a way that Broadway shows can make a slightly simpler version that can be done faster. So it's edited down to be a little bit shorter than an original Broadway script would be, so that it comes out to be, instead of, you know, a two-hour show, it might be an hour and 20 minutes, that kind of stuff. So the junior designation means it's been edited down a little bit, a little more accessible for
Jeez.
Kids.
I'm flying, and we're there.
Yes, and we're there. A few extra verses cut, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so can you give the website again so that everybody knows if they're interested in getting involved, getting their kid involved in one of your camps?
Yes, our summer website is summer@livearts.org, summer@livearts.org. And if you want tickets for any of our shows coming up on coming up in the second half of July and in August, you would go to our permanent website, where all our shows are listed at livearts.org.
And how long has Live Arts been offering these summer camps? What year of inception is this?
It predates me, so I'm not certain. I think there was education programming going on mm-hmm. back very early on in the mid-90s when they started. I think the summer camps have been in effect in this way for about 12 or 15 years.
And when you took over, is there anything that you changed or altered and wanted to focus on specifically in the form of youth theater education?
Yes, certainly. We always did, for years and years, we always did our camps like the musical theater camp and like the comedy camp, where kids came in and they did a showcase production at the end of the camp. They would sing a song or learn group choreography or do a short scene from a show. That was always in place. And the thing that we changed when I came in was to give kids the younger kids the opportunity to do actual full productions of shows. So instead of just a showcase performance where you sing one song, now you're playing a full character in Peter Pan, doing it with full costumes and lights and a set design by one of our regular set designers. They're actually doing real shows. And then the innovation this year is not just that that's not just for musicals, it's for mm-hmm. regular non-musicals.
Right, because I think that those technical aspects are really lost in the whole entire craft of theater,
oh, yeah.
because you don't learn how to do quick costume changes. You don't learn how to do set design. You don't learn how to work with minimal equipment and improvise, you know, a set for that matter. So I think you have to learn all that stuff on hand.
Well, and is there currently or is there a plan to do technical theater camps?
We have in the past done some technical theater camps. We are not focusing on that right now. Instead, we are having our regular set of volunteer designers and that sort of thing do all of that.
Yeah.
And however, the plan is to expand that so that we would let kids do that entirely.
Yeah.
So that in the future there would be a production features all the young actors as well as young designers and technicians.
Yeah.
Coupling together and an entirely youth-built show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that's what Starcatcher tried to do, right?
Yes.
Just, like, incorporate
aspects. Well, they had mentors. They had mentors mm-hmm. and like, apprentices show.
But
yeah.
They did everything.
And so Peter and the Starcatcher, which we did in March, was by far the most apprentices, young teenage apprentices
right.
that we've ever had. We had 16 of them working on everything behind the scenes. And the idea is that we can, if we do that enough, we will have built a pool of people who are interested and know and have the skill set to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that
specifically in that theater. What does that look like? Is it like a really cluttered experience? Because you're like, it's because I can imagine so many people working on a set at once, and then you have one person working behind at one
right.
person. So, like, what does that look like, and what does that feel like in the entire process?
Everybody,
and I pardon the term cluttered. I hate for it to sound like a negative connotation.
It can look that way, but the way to alleviate that is through designating the a certain job for a certain person.
Gotcha.
So if someone is an assistant stage manager, they are partnered with the adult stage manager who's coaching them along the way and tasking them with certain things to do, like to run a rehearsal or to create copies of the script, that kind of stuff. So each individual is working on one discipline within theater, and that's really the way that theater always works, is everybody does their particular job, and then through the collaboration and the collective, you build the whole show.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you're like hip deep into 2017, but is there anything that you're thinking about next year that you're thinking about incorporating into this program, or do you take suggestions?
Or what shows are you thinking about doing for next year?
Or do you take suggestions from the public and the parents of the people?
We do. We always send out a survey about what shows people want to see next year and what experience they had this year. And we are the programming is always evolving. And if anything, next year, what we would do is, because of the interest in our two musicals this year, we have had more than ever, more auditioners than ever, more people interested. We would expand that, possibly doing an additional musical for younger kids, or the calendar is packed as it is, but we would try to fit even more in, if anything.
Right on. And that survey is online, or did they send it
out? That survey was, we just sent it to the people who are involved. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so we got one more minute. Is there anything else that you'd like to share about the program, anything about live arts in general, any type of plug, shout out to your mom?
Yeah, I guess we should mention
a
plug for the rest of the camps. We're halfway through this summer here, and our camp beginning on the 17th, Peter Pan Camp is sold out, but all of our other camps are currently available. You could still go online and register for our July and August camps. And come see the shows. Pippin opens on the 14th of July.
Yeah.
Runs the second half of July, and then the first two weekends of August are all the other shows.
I think I know one of the parents who's of the kid who's playing Pippin.
Ooh,
interesting! But I forgot who did
a connection.
The Pippin cast is extraordinary and excellent. They're high school and college students that are extremely talented.
And when does that open?
That opens the 14th.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
July 14th.
Thank you so much, Mike, for coming and talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Remember that part?
Awesome.
Cool.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. And I guess we're doing commercials.
Are we doing commercials? No, we're doing the list.
Yeah,
David.
Here are just some of the events that are going down in your Seaville, covered in tear gas and pepper spray. Currently running through August 27th, The Mysteries That Remain, the first museum survey of the work of acclaimed Australian Indigenous artist Nick Amirami Chapeljari at the Kluge Room Aboriginal Art Collection. I always freak out when I see that name currently
just
running.
Just can't pronounce it, can you?
November 26th, but I did it though.
Okay.
The American Shakespeare Center summer/fall season featuring Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor Lost, Henry VI, Part 3 by Shakespeare, and the modern musical Peter and the Starcatcher, which we just talked about, all at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton, but not that Peter and the Starcatcher.
Okay.
Yeah, I got this froggy, like, Little Rascals thing.
You do!
Through your last one of Jesus Christ Superstar.
It's a little... You got a little, like, Dizzy Gillespie thing going on over there.
You're right.
Satchel!
Yeah. Now, through July 15th, UVA's Heritage Theater Festival presents Chapati by Christian O'Reilly. A pair of late-in-life neighbors looking for new homes for their respective four-legged friends rediscover in each other the power of human connection. At UVA's Holmes Theater.
Uh-huh.
July 14th through July 19th is Giuseppe Verdi's Rigoletto. But
Rigoletto! You have to roll the R. Rigoletto.
I can't roll anything right now. Charlesville Opera at the Paramount Theater. And for your music options this week.
Yes! This afternoon, Mackenzie Rourke at 2 p.m. at Wild Wolf Brewery. Michael Clem! Oh my god.
He killed it in Woody Guthrie, I heard.
Michael Clem and Thomas Gumm at 3:30 at the Glass House Winery. Oh my god. Michael, we love you. Come back on the show, dude. What's up with that? Tonight, King Golden Banshee at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Travis Elliott at Rapture. July 11th, Red and the Romantics at Dirty Nelly's. Goth Night with Washington, D.C.'s Novarium at The Pit at Cinema Taco. July 12th, Will Overman at Provenada Farm Brewery, Tequila Mockingbird, and Camille and Whiskey. Ooh, Chamomile and Whiskey? Seriously? That's a really... Okay. Two bands with awesome names. Awesome Tequila Mockingbird and Chamomile and Whiskey on 2nd Street Gallery's rooftop for this month's Brews with a View at 2nd Street Gallery. Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, July 13th, Michael Ellswick Gathering, and then Tyler Dick at Fellini's, July 13th as well, the Steve Kessler Trio, presented by the Charlottesville Jazz Society. Oh, by the Jazz Society, huh? We might have to check that out, Clinton. Seriously.
I don't know if I like sanctioned jazz. I want my jazz to be on the loose.
You want your jazz to be just out there?
I want my jazz to fall out of a train car.
Fall out of a train? What?
Jazz with the smell of tear gas still wafting around.
Oh, you just can't let it go. July 14th, Susie and the Pistols at Glasshouse Winery.
Bang, bang.
The Gladstones at Dirty Nelly's Pub. The George Taylor Group at the Whiskey Jar. Uncle Billy at Wild Wing Cafe. The 15th, Freight Paid at the Batesville Market. Okay, not such a great name. I mean, I'm sure they're wonderful, just not a great name. Central Virginia Blues Festival at the Rockfish Valley Community Center Pavilion. Nelson County singer-songwriter Kat Somer at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Also July 15th, once again, our buddy Michael Clem at Knight's Gambit Vineyard. And get your Celtic rock on with Chamomile and Whiskey with special guests at Rapunzel's Coffee and Books. The Ragnaroks. Now that's an awesome
band
name.
That's an awesome name.
The Ragnaroks at Wildwood Brewery. Oh, sorry. Did I mispronounce?
Nah, the Ragnaroks would have been so much cooler,
right?
Though.
I know. Okay, anyway. Every Monday, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Reform Brewery, Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9, the Mike Rosinski and Jeff Checker Quartet at Miller's, and every Thursday, John Durth at Miller's. All right. Are we doing a drop?
If you want your stuff to be announced and you got something going down, let
email
us know. Homegrown947@gmail.com or hit us up on the Twitter, as my mom says, the Twitter.
The Twitter.
Homegrown Seville. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVZ, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And with me right now...
Hold on, we got a drop, David.
And we're doing a drop. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hi, this is Corey Bix from Victory Hall Opera. You're listening to Homegrown, a show about local arts on 94.7 WPVC.
I'm going to do... All right, so after the show, stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Dan Gould. Their guests are Joanna Lott of Seville Community and
Joanna
Nathan Moore from Together Seville, talking about the role everyday people are playing in resisting the Trump agenda. Ooh, that's a show. That's a show
in
right
for that
there. I might just stay
I'm
for that
already
one.
A fan.
Woo!
All right, and with us right now is a brother that just intends to make me look dopier and less dressed than I already am.
I know,
my man came in suited and booted.
Right?
With the clip on the tie.
Come on, man. His tie clip on and everything.
Came with everything.
I try to be clean.
You tried and you have succeeded.
He has.
Lorenzo Dickerson is in the house once again.
Lorenzo, come a little closer to me.
Sure. Hold on. She got claws. You better watch out for that shirt.
Hey.
The talons.
I only use the claws if I'm asked. Besides, he married. He ain't looking over here for nothing.
He is a filmmaker. A married filmmaker. Brilliant filmmaker.
And he is showing his new film, Albemarle's Black Classrooms,
yes,
at the third annual Wappentown Film Festival going down July 14th through July 16th. And once again, why don't you break down that name, Wappentown, for us, just to let the people know.
Yeah, what's the history
what exactly
of that?
That means.
Yeah, Wappentown is a story that my grandmother, whose maiden name is Maupin, she's from Ivy, Virginia, and she would always tell me these stories about going to Wappentown as a kid in the summertime. So I found out that Wappentown is kind of in between Ivy and Garth Road. It's a wooded area there that they used to go to. So that's where I named the company Wappentown.
That's right.
That's very cool. I love that story. I really
it's a
do.
Good story.
Like I'm a sucker for a story with you know a mother or a grandmother in it.
We're taking our piece back.
Right?
We're taking our piece back. And this is the third annual Wappentown Film Festival.
Yes.
So what have you learned from the experiences of the first and second annual Wappentown Film Festival that you're taking into this one right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, well, we're doing a lot more discussions this year. So a lot more Q&A discussions around,
regarding
Black Lives Matter movement, the Black Church, Sally Hemings. So we have a lot of discussions this year, but then also the very first Wappentown Film Festival was done inside St. John Baptist Church in Gordonsville area, and so we moved it to the Jefferson School. It's a more central location. We could fit more people in there, so I went to
free parking.
Right.
Hey, that's a thing.
Wanted more people to be able to access it and get to the film festival, and it's free for everyone.
That's what I like to hear. It's free.
David
Everybody
loves free.
Bring a plate, but
oh my lord,
it's free.
Oh my lord,
you just set up the table. We'll make it happen.
So, so has the first two festivals? They had a certain theme of what types of films you were doing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, what's the theme for this year?
So this year, the theme is. I don't remember now.
He's been working so hard.
Black
he
folks,
can't remember.
Black folks.
Oh, baby. Oh. In town. It's all right.
So this year's theme is black goes with everything. The diverse experience.
Oh,
of-
yes.
And it makes you look thinner.
How about so, that?
So this year we're showing films so that run the gambit. Where really we want to show stories that show that the black experience is, you know, from every different corner of the world. So,
yeah.
You know, we have very different experiences. So the films are, some are about local stories, some are about national stories, international stories. So they really run the gamut. So you know, black really does go with everything.
So how do you get, I mean, I know we've asked this question before, but for those people who have been under a rock and missed the first two, how do you get these films?
Yeah. Really, I'm, you know, as a filmmaker, I'm always paying attention to films and films that we don't normally get a chance to see.
Right.
So I'm always, you know, keeping my eyes peeled. And, you know, when I find something that I like, I'm really just reaching out to the filmmakers and seeing if I can get a hold of the film, if they'll all be willing to participate in the film festival, that type of thing.
And they participate without being paid?
Yes.
That's amazing.
They do.
That is so amazing. You have like a silver tongue to get these people to like give you their stuff without getting
them. But you get an excellent opportunity,
right?
To present your art
to a new group of people. Yeah, I mean, seriously, if you're contacting mostly indie filmmakers, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's their bread and butter. Like, that's where their paycheck is coming from. Mm-hmm. And to get them to submit these films without paying them.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah, they've been, you know, very helpful and willing to share their art. So, you know, shouts out to them for
that's usually how it goes down, because I've done a lot of short films, especially in New York, and that's why a lot of them can't be released, because they go into circulation. They are released for distribution,
right,
but possibly not getting distribution. So there's this waiting time. Yeah, you get paid, so to speak, to
right,
like, do the part, but you know, you don't maybe see any of that, you know, comeback like ever.
Yeah.
Or might not even get that demo reel because it's still in circulation. So yeah.
Right.
So with the Wappentown Film Festivals, we're talking about all documentary films, right?
No. Not all documentaries this time around.
Really? So there's a change.
Have you not listened? Look, you haven't looked at the list, Clinton.
I have looked at the list. I didn't realize it's somewhere in documentaries.
Oh, okay.
I would figure that they're not, like, because I wanted to speak with you about this, because this is important that you have like a wide array of black films, but there was this like thing in like the 80s and the 90s where, especially in the 90s, where like John Singleton released Boys in the Hood.
Right.
And then every movie from the 90s on was about South Central Los Angeles.
Right. Yes.
So I'm of the ilk where I am always trying to exercise the idea of the complexity of blackness and how
yes.
we're not a monolithic culture, mm-hmm. how every black person is not the same, how we do not believe the same thing that every other black person believes.
Right.
So did you go into that thinking with this film festival? And you said you wanted to have a wide, diverse
yes.
Array of films, but also that display people of color. Mm-hmm. So was that one of the things that you were thinking about going
Most
into that?
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely wanted to, like I said, I wanted to show films that touch on various different aspects
right,
of
right.
the black experience mm-hmm. In America and then outside of America as well. So, I mean, we have a film that was done from two French filmmakers. So, they sent the film from Paris.
Dope.
So we have that. We have...
Yeah, because apparently Paris is like one of the blackest cities on the planet.
One of the most unapologetically
black cities on the planet. Yes,
on the planet.
Super black city.
Right.
Yeah.
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 We even have like Saturday the 15th. We have Saturday morning cartoons. So we've got two films that are cartoons for the kids that actually stories about a black ballerina.
Or for 36-year-old men.
Right? Like, or for us.
Right.
Can we do it? Please?
The interesting thing
I'm
with those
singing,
two.
I'm singing Let It Go. I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying I have not enjoyed a Saturday cartoon since Fat Albert, you know, and I can't enjoy that
I was
going
to say, there's no Saturday morning cartoons anymore.
Right.
No.
I can't enjoy Fat Albert anymore. He ruined it.
Hey, why don't you take a drink out of this here?
No,
relax a little.
No.
Too soon.
Sidebar. Total sidebar. Did you see when he walked out of the court and
yes.
then he did the hey?
He did.
As he was walking away?
Yes,
like,
he did the Fat
you?
Albert hey.
What is okay. wrong with you?
Anyway.
Dead for life.
Anyway. I'm just saying. So yes, a black cartoon that, you know, will
yeah.
give me a little of my childhood
yeah.
back,
yeah.
please.
It probably made me emotionally scarred.
Right?
The cool thing about those two films is that they're made by Karen Parsons, who played
Hillary,
exactly.
Mm, really,
she's still fun.
And Hillary will be Skyped in after,
coming.
So she'll be doing a Q&A after
coming.
The films.
David,
so
you and I,
Parsons,
we're there, baby. We
Karen
are
Parsons
so
will be there.
There.
I'm going to see Hillary Banks. That's a fact. Even if it is on a grainy Skype, I'll be like, I love you, girl. You were
oh,
bad and bougie,
Lord.
But I loved you.
Oh my Lord.
I loved her more in Major Payne.
So,
she was dope in
so
Major
here,
Payne.
So here's my question, specifically related to David's last comment. There will be security, right?
Yeah.
I don't, specifically,
you know,
me trying not to get Karen Parsons.
I don't want him to like bum rush the screen and like ruin everything for everybody else.
Right.
So, you know, you might want to just have somebody.
I don't know what might happen when I see her, but I'm just saying I will try my best to be contained.
Okay,
it's gonna
so
be a
you
big
mentioned
Skype, like, you're gonna, like,
stop.
Oh, yeah,
stop,
screen.
David.
Okay. Big screen.
You will not be able to hug the screen, okay?
See if it was Ashley, though. See, we'd
oh,
have problems.
Oh, my Lord.
I would be, like,
you know
right
what, David? We need to pay some bills, okay? We're going to do a drop.
We're going to do a drop.
And I'm going to try and correct David, get him back on track over here.
You can't just be throwing Karen Parsons up.
Stop.
I wasn't ready.
Stop.
This is homegrown. Drop.
This is Jay Warr from Vibe Riot. You listen to 94.7 WPVC, homegrown, Charlottesville. What up?
Oh, my goodness.
It is 44 minutes past the hour. Time flies when you're talking about Hillary Banks. This is homegrown.
Only you are talking about Hillary Banks like that.
The progressive voice of Charlottesville, Lorenzo Dickinson, is also talking about Karen Parsons Skyping in to the Maupintown Film Festival.
I forgot to play the ads.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, we're going to talk about that after we play some ads. This is Homegrown Drop. Oh, it is 45 minutes past the hour. And if you're just tuning in, you have missed quite a show.
Oh, my goodness. This show has been extra this morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Super peppery. 94.7 WPVC. The progressive voice of Charlottesville.
He's in the house.
Lorenzo Dickinson is in the house.
That's
homegrown,
right.
Homegrown, where we're completely judgmental of other people's band names.
Yes, we are.
Lorenzo Dickinson is talking about the Moffintown Film Festival. Year number 3.
coming at you July 14th through 16th. Where what building is it at physically?
So it's in the Jefferson School of African American Heritage Center. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Floor.
I like that. In a black place. That's go, boy.
That's going to be my second home.
Right? We're there all the time now.
We might as well reserve that white couch.
Seriously, Andrea, just put in some cots. Just put in some cots because we may be moving in.
I'm just on Netflix.
Like, we ain't leaving.
Yeah, bathroom and a fridge. I'm good.
So what kind? You mentioned there are more panels this year.
Yes.
So what kind of panels are you doing, and who's going to be appearing on them?
Yeah. So Sunday, we're showing two films: Black Church Inc. and Why I Sing Amazing Grace. And after those two films, we will have a Q&A panel with African American church pastors here locally. So you have Pastor Kelvin Hawkins of St. John Baptist Church in Cobham, Pastor Cass Bailey of Trinity Episcopal.
Okay, nice.
Pastor Sean Wright, Tracy Daniels, and then Minister Carolyn Dillard will be the moderator.
Tilla, yes. That's my girl. That is my home Yes. All right. I'm going to have to come to that one.
Mm-hmm. It sounds really amazing.
No, because seriously, every time I see her now, you know, because she just recently became a yeah, seriously, every time I say, hey, Reverend.
That's messed up.
And of course, we can't miss Leslie. We'll be there as well.
Yes.
So we're showing Two Fists Up and Stay Woke. And then Leslie's going to moderate.
I wanted to see that.
Leslie's going to moderate a Q&A for us with Jeff Fogle.
Okay.
And Jeanette Boyd Martin of local NAACP.
Okay.
As well as two students that just graduated from Charlottesville High School would be on the panel as well.
Nice.
And, you know, when you sent me the link, and so I watched it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
There are so many questions I have. Right. Seriously.
So I just want to get the long and short of it. So y'all view the movie together. There's a Q&A after the movie.
Yes. Yes.
Discussing
the topics
itself or just the aspects of the topics.
The topics that are shown in the movies.
So I come at this from an artist standpoint that takes their artwork very sensitively.
Yeah.
So I could see how this could turn into like
David's very sensitive.
A judgment.
No.
The film. Okay.
I can't speak for any other panelists, but I'm going to say
as a moderator, to
right,
be like,
right, right, right.
Pass judgment
I,
on
I can't.
Film.
I can't speak for whatever's going to happen to any at any other panel, but.
Right.
My panel is just going to talk about the issues raised in the film. Right. It is not going to be a critique of what we just saw.
All right. I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah.
Because I know that some people can slip into Roger and Ebert, Siskel and Ebert territory.
Did you just mix up like Roger Rabbit and Siskel and Ebert? Is that what happened in your brain?
That's an interesting combination, though.
Please, I was just off.
Killing me, Eddie. You're killing me.
Seriously. Oh my God. This is theater family. I just want y'all to know. This is what happens with theater family.
Alvin Marl's Black Classrooms. You were here last time promoting the film.
Yeah.
You're putting it up today. You're putting it up at the festival.
Oh, no. Not in the festival.
Not in the festival.
No, it'll be Alvin Marl's Black Classrooms does show today at 4 o'clock at Victory Hall in Scottsville.
Okay.
Yeah.
How you feel about that?
Excited about it.
Okay.
Because, you know, B.F. Yancey was just closed, which is close
were
by.
Were you still, like, editing, at, like, 3 a.m. this morning?
No.
This one's been finished.
This one's been done.
Good.
So yeah, just excited to share it with that side of the county. Esmond has a rich African American history. You know, one of the schools, Esmond High, is talked about in the film.
Mm-hmm.
So excited to show it this evening over there.
Right on. And this is the like world premiere of it, like being shown on like.
The world premiere was in February. We did it at the Jefferson School.
That's right.
We had about 400 people there.
Yeah.
We sold out the first day and had to add a second day. And
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because everybody knows you and everybody loves what you do. I mean, no, seriously, like, it's really great to have a filmmaker telling the stories of this region. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you are a great resource, not only for people to see their stories mm-hmm. and have some sort of pride about it, mm-hmm. but also for people who don't know to learn about the history of this area. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. that's something that, number one, we seriously need, mm-hmm. Because it's not history that we're being taught in any classroom that mm-hmm. we're attending. And, mm-hmm. and it's also something that I think is enriching people by showing them a part of this area that they may not have known about.
I completely agree. And from an artistic standpoint, I think it's admirable for you to just like pick a certain avenue and be like, okay, this is what I'm focusing on because this is what is important to me. African-American heritage in my, you know, in my community. Whereas most filmmakers be like, oh, I want to do a horror movie, or I want to do an action movie, or I want to do a romantic movie. Mm-hmm. Like people like bounce around, they have different ideas, and it's like, no, I'm focused on home base. This is my bread and butter. This is where I want to stay.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, we only have 1 minute, but going out, have you ever thought of doing anything different or not? And why or why not, and anything you'll be
don't
doing
ask him six questions when he has 1 minute.
I have, you know, some, what I'm trying to say.
I have some things in the works now.
Okay.
That I'm working on, different things that aren't necessarily documentary film.
Okay.
But they do still touch on mm-hmm. the local area. So I'm writing a novel and then a screenplay that goes with it.
Okay.
I'm doing a new documentary film and then also okay. an animated series.
Lovely. Like,
you know
kids.
My number.
All right.
You know the number.
Gotcha. He knows all of our numbers. And we will expect yeah. those phone calls.
Yes, we will.
All right.
I love brother. I'd love to work
you
with
got,
you.
Like, actors, directors right. up in here. Come on, Dan. Right. Come on.
Don't make me beg. Lorenzo Dickinson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time, because there will be a next time. Yeah.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Cool. This is Homegrown. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Did we do that first? Or we'll do the rant first. We'll do the rant, and I'll talk about the Sunday morning wake-up call.
He
I get those two mixed
me.
Up. Yeah, it just
he
doesn't matter. No,
me.
I want to save you. I want to save the juiciest part for the last. And
oh, really?
I just want to snap out.
That's it?
And I want to go.
Okay.
But whatever.
All right. I want to start off by saying I am very proud of Charlottesville. I'm very proud that this town showed up and resisted a symbol of hatred. I'm also thankful for groups who organized alternate means of resistance. For those who didn't feel like a face-to-face confrontation was what they wanted to do, there were many other places and many other ways that you could show your solidarity. So whether you were standing at a barricade staring them down as they walked into one of our parks, or you were at a pavilion listening to beautiful music, or sitting in a church praying that no one got hurt or killed, you were part of the resistance yesterday. Thank you. This has been an emotional weekend for a lot of us. I don't think a lot of people in Charlottesville truly understood the deep roots of the KKK in this town. My hope is that after this weekend, they do. My hope is that after this weekend, they not only understand the roots of it, the cause of it, but they can also understand the immense need for them not just to show up at a rally, but to show up. Allies need to realize that a group of misguided, miseducated people coming to our town to spread hatred is not the end of the fight. They need to understand that this is a fight that we fight every day in ways that you will never understand. And if you truly are an ally, your involvement will not end with yelling at a KKK member. If you are truly an ally, that should be the beginning of your fight. So let's talk about what that next fight should be. And no, I'm not talking about the next rally on August 12th. I'm talking about making sure that everyone who lives in our city has a voice in what happens in our city. I'm talking about affordable housing. I'm talking about stop and frisk policies. I'm talking about unsolved murders of black children. Say her name. I'm talking about a disproportionate number of children taken away from black families. I'm talking about making sure our government is paying attention to all of its citizens. And that has nothing to do with showing up for a rally to yell at someone. That has everything to do with how you vote, with showing up for council meetings, making sure people that make our laws and make changes to our city hear everyone's voice. And if you ask me, that takes a whole lot more courage. That takes work. That takes determination and tenacity. But for the first time, I am hopeful that Charlottesville has what it takes. And that's the Weekly Rant.
And Charlottesville does have what it takes. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Dan Gould. His guest is going to be Joanna Lott, Seaville Community, and Nathan Moore from Together Seaville. They will be talking about the role everyday people are playing in resisting the Trump agenda. And I'm one of them. And I can't wait to hear this show. So stay tuned. But this has been Homegrown. We love you all. Thank you, Lorenzo Dickerson, who is right here in front of me, suited and booted. Have fun at church. Also, Mike Long, Education Director of Live Arts Theater. Thank you so much. Thank you, Clinton, for reminding me to thank our guests and for being the wonderful producer that you are. Thank you, Leslie M. Scott Jones, for being the wonderful co-host that you are. And thank you, all of Charlottesville, for pulling together and drowning out the hate. Yeah, this is Homegrown. Have a good week. See you next week.
Bye, Facebook.
This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art with your hosts, David Von Strong and Leslie M. Scott Jones, here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
Contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.